Let me read a statement to you. And I'm not even sure who wrote this, but it's a really cool statement. I think about this stuff all the time, but especially this week, because I was really struck me this week that around the world, people are been doing Lent. They're sort of following Christ through the 40 days, and then they're following him and observing him as he walks this Passion Week and walks the way of the cross. But we're just reminded of, actually, this is your history. It's not just his history. You walked the way of the cross. You were there 2,000 years ago. Jesus knew you before the foundation of the world. And so you were there in Christ, walking to the gallows to put an end to the old fallen false self, so that a whole new self in union with the very life of Christ can be raised up. That's really important. And so I don't know if I'm given the right, saying the right words so that that strikes you, but it just stuns me. It makes this so much more personal. He didn't just go to the cross for me. He went to the cross for me as me. He didn't just go to the cross to pay for my sin. He went to the cross. He took me to the cross to set me free from the power of sin, the power of personality excuses and all those kind of things. But I love this statement. God planned from the beginning that we would be woven into the fabric of Jesus' existence. That's a really big statement. Now hear that again, and you'll hear it more over the weeks and months to come. This is part of the vocabulary now. God planned that we would be woven into the fabric of Jesus' existence. What is Jesus' existence like right now? What kind of life is he living right now? What kind of relationship, what sort of intimate relationship does he have with God right now? What does he feel about people right now? How does he view world events right now? How does he see politics and all those other things? You've been woven into the fabric of the existence of Jesus. That's why he says that he's your life. He didn't say he's your lifeline. He's not your life jacket. He's not your co-pilot. We've been woven into the very fabric of his existence. That's why we don't have any excuses. We have all kinds of dreams. You know, both Adam and Eve represented collective humanity. Adam and Jesus. Both of them were vicarious in a way. What Scripture makes really clear is that when Adam died, we were in him. He represented us, the human race. And when he died spiritually, we all died spiritually. We were all born guilty of Adam's sin and having inherited that sinful nature. But this is awesome. Before you ever fell in Adam, which happened 2,000 years ago, you had already been found in Jesus Christ, because he was slain before the foundation of the world. Now, how does that new math work? So before there was ever a problem, God had already provided the solution. Before you and I fell in Adam, we had already been found in Jesus. Because if Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world, you were slain before the foundation of the world in him. So did God give Adam a free choice? Yes. Could Adam have said no to the sin? Yes. But it sounds like God knew he was going to do it because he provided a solution. So why didn't God stop him from doing it? That's like one of those Esther questions, isn't it? That he could have chosen other, but God knew he wasn't going to, though he could, even in the last minute. And yet God had already made the provision before Adam was ever created. Is that just God covering his bases, just in case? Or is it man has free will and God is totally sovereign and you can't explain it? It's just the reality. And so as people in Christ, we don't ever get hung up with what's happening around us. We stay hung up with who lives in us and whose destiny, who controls our destiny. Before you ever fell in Adam, you were already found in Christ. Before mankind got lost, he was already saved. And this week, we celebrate And see, I don't have the words to say it. We celebrate our history being changed. I celebrate Easter is my birthday. Easter is your birthday. Friday was the inner healing. I mean, God put to death the broken, fallen person. The one who's controlled by self, by depression, or self-pity, or anger, or the inability to forgive, or addiction, or lust, or greed. That person got crucified. The one I've been trying to get away from that's caused me so much misery, he took care of 2,000 years ago. And then on Sunday, he recreated on Easter something far beyond my imagination. If I could have imagined a new self, it has just been a patched up new version of Chuck. Like, okay, let's just wipe out all the stuff I did so that won't be a part of my record anymore, and then just make me better. Give me a fresh start. And instead, he's like, what if I make you in union with the risen Christ and you have his capacity? What if you're woven into the fabric of his existence, his emotions, his surrender, his surrendered will, his capacity to love? I would have never could have imagined anything like that. Could you? That's what this week is. It's not just being grateful for what he did, his sacrifice, he paid for my sins. It's being grateful for what he did to me. We'll talk about this again tonight. But what happened to me? That was the whole point. Jesus didn't just go to the cross, do all that stuff so you can go back, cool, he is God. That is amazing. Only God could do something like that. He's so wonderful. He loves us so much that he would die on the cross. My sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven one day. Yes, your sins are forgiven. That had to be gotten out of the way. That was part of the deal. But he did all this to make a new you. A new you beyond anything you could ever imagine or think. That's the whole point. God so loved the world. And there's not one darn thing. Darn's not cross the line, is it? There's not one darn thing we could do about it. We didn't even ask for the solution. The solution was provided before we ever needed a solution. And so my imagination runs wild. It both drives me to glorious repentance because I know what I'm repenting towards. You know, when you repent, it's not just that God shows you something you've done wrong. He shows you what you're missing out on. You've been woven into the very fabric of the existence of Jesus, and that's not how he acts. That's not how he reacts. That's not how he lives. And so if you'll let go of that, you get to experience this. Oh. So like when Livy and I first got married, she tried to make me a lemon meringue pie. But she never could get the stuff, the lemon part, to get hard. She cooked it for hours. And she finally served it to me in a coffee cup with the meringue floating on top. It was a good drink of lemon meringue, whatever. But if I could have had the world's best lemon meringue pie, I would have certainly have traded, though I would have never told her that, for this. Or if somebody gives you a mud pie, and there's the greatest chocolate pie in the world, you're like, no. I've been eating mud pie all my life. I'm going to stick with the mud pie. Not like mud pie chocolate, but mud pie. Repentance is about reminding us the Eucharist is not just us. Christ is here. Christ is present. It's his body. It's his blood. That's so mystical. That's so magical. That's true. But there's a bigger story in that. Jesus didn't do all that just to show off. Every time we celebrate Eucharist, it's like we're celebrating our birthday. It's like Jesus is celebrating our birthday. All this is because all your brokenness was crucified in that broken body, in that shed blood, so that you could be woven into the very existence of the risen Christ. You were woven into the existence of his crucifixion, into the existence of the life he lives now. Eucharist is that. It's not a memorial. It's a, oh my gosh, reminds us. Why is Eucharist important like that? It's not just God, again, God showing off. And a lot of theologians, a lot of people in Assisi, they'll talk about Eucharist and what they're amazed with. It's convincing people. It may look like blood, I mean, grape juice or wine. It may look like bread, but it's actually the body, blood of Jesus. I don't understand it. It's magical. It has life in it. And it nurtures our union, all that kind of stuff. That's all true. But again, he didn't do all that just to show off that he can do stuff like this. The biggest issue in every Christian is their identity. Do they know that God's plan was for them to be woven into the very existence of Jesus and the life he lives. So why is Eucharist important? Because it shouts to us what happened to us. That I died in this death. I rose in his resurrection. And every day we celebrate that. And by feasting on this reality in some mystical way, it nurtures my experience of that. But this is not just about him, because he didn't do it for him. This is about me. And it drives home our identity. Because you see, if you don't get that, then everything that Jesus did, including the Eucharist, we sort of step back and then we're in awe of it, this thing that Christ did. Or you step up and remember and realize, I actually participated in all this so that I might be a new creation in Christ. Everything that he has, I have. Everything he is part of who I am. For I've died and my life is hidden with Christ in God. That's just stunning to me. The sovereignty, the grace of God, before you ever fell in Adam, you had already been found in Jesus Christ. And we're going to experience that in an amazing way. Remember, Eucharist, everything else for Christianity is about we make that past event present. So at Eucharist, like we're going to do Easter, but every Eucharist is a mini Easter. So we're going to do Easter, but we're going to today at every Eucharist like celebrate my new creation and actually participate as if it was happening for the first time. Not just a memorial, but I'm entering into it. It's like, oh my gosh, today I was born a new creation in Christ. Bigger than anything I could ever imagine. Every Eucharist, you get to experience that, enter into that. And it's not just a memorial because that may not impact you as much, but if it's like this, a sacrament where you're actually as if it's happening just now and you're there participating, you're not just watching what Jesus did, you're like watching this reality, experience this reality, what happened to you, that gets in you more. It's about your identity because he came to change who you and I are. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.